Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Scheduled to join us right now. Had Smoot on the show, I guess, last week or the week before. Smoot said Sean Springs is a big Trey Amos believer. Washington released KJ Osborne. So Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne released. Does that mean 16 Ja'Cory Brooks is going to make the team? I think it does, right? I don't know. It could be Tay Martin. Could be, because it's going to be Terry, Noah, Brown, Debo, Jalen Lane, four. I think five will be McCaffrey. If they keep six, you think it'll be Brooks?
I
like Brooks.
I like him, too.
He looks like a pro.
I agree.
Do we have Sean?
We sure do.
Good. One of my favorite people to have on this show over the years is Sean Springs, who was clearly one of the best players during some of the down years, even though some of his years here in Washington were productive years with Coach Joe at the helm. Sean has been doing, I know you've been out at camp observing, because Smoot was on with me last week and said, if you want to talk to somebody about Trey Amos, I don't see Sean get very excited about people very often, but he is pumped about Trey Amos. And I said, yeah, you know, typically you'll get really upset or really animated when the team that you like isn't doing the things that you think it should be doing. So did they get it right with Trey Amos? But more importantly, how do you know this early?
Oh, man. Hey, thanks for having me on.
You know, I love having you on.
I know we usually get in trouble too, but we're in a good space this year, man. We're not going to get in trouble. Right. Hey, Trey Amos, man, the reason you know is, you know, for a cornerback or any position, usually a skill position in the NFL, you know, when they go from college and yeah, they're great players and then they go to the NFL, the game is a little, you know, sometimes it might not be the speed of the game that can get a player, but sometimes it's the amount of information, they're thinking too much, they're not moving full speed, or they're moving too fast, out of control, or, you know, it's just, you know, this not themselves. When I see Trey, it's just like, oh my goodness, I'm looking at this kid, and I'm just like, he looks like he's been in the league for 10 years. He's patient at the line of scrimmage. Every receiver in camp, obviously, like Terry, he jammed every receiver. He was under control. He could run with them. I mean, he just was excellent, man. I mean, there's a very few corners I've seen in the game that this just looked like they've been there. Usually they have a pedigree or something. Like Patrick Surtain is one that comes to mind. Like he came into the league and he was already a fifth-year pro, right? Trey Amos looks like that, and I'm just impressed.
So you mentioned something like patience. Like there is what, like a calmness, like a confidence, poise that you've noticed in addition to the physical part?
All of that. That the physical part, there's a lot of guys that are physically capable of doing a job. But when you see a guy who goes up and he communicates, he's talking, and then he gets up in front of the receiver, he's not look like he's rushing or he's, you know, in basketball, they talk about, like, you get sped up. Like, you watch college basketball compared to NFL, up to the NBA. And the NBA guys look like they're just moving so slow, under control, know where they're going. Same in the NFL, right, especially the skill position. They don't look sped up. They look under control. Look like they've done it. They take the right angles. They take the right – their footwork is excellent. And you just can tell right away with that guy.
Interesting. You know, when you talked about basketball, one of my favorite players to watch over the last, you know, 10, 12 years, because you cannot speed him up, and he plays methodically, and he plays at a pace that is very unique, is DeMar DeRozan. Like, DeMar DeRozan just gets to his spot. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, urgent. There's nothing abrupt. There's nothing overly athletic. It's just like his incredible patience and craftiness, I guess.
Luka Doncic is another great example of that, right? We don't want to go down a
Kawhi is that way.
Yep. patient. Yeah. So you see that in football as well.
Yeah.
You know.
So what's the next step where you where your early beliefs are confirmed? Like when he starts to play real games, what will tell you that you are 100% right in your initial gut instinct?
Oh, I don't need to see him. I don't need to see him playing any games. I just my experience, right? My experience of playing with all pro DBs, playing with guys. I've seen 1,000 guys come in camp. You know, 13 years. I've probably seen so many defensive backs, and I know what it feels like. I know what it looks like. It'd be like you telling me something about a guy who understands the production of the radio. He's just comfortable with it. He's not all over the place. Like, ah, oh, we're doing a break of this. It's just comfortable. I don't need to be confirmed. Like I can tell you, like, it's certain things are obvious. Like, I don't need to tell y'all that Jeremiah Smith is a day one starter in the NFL and he's probably going to be all pro. You can see it.
Yeah.
Right? It's obvious.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, he just mentioned the best player in college football, and we'll see him on Saturday at noon against Texas as Sean's alma mater takes on the number one team.
But he was the best player as a freshman, right? He didn't get sped up. He looked like he was Marvin Harrison already, right?
Yeah. You know, it is interesting.
And, go ahead.
No, it's what you're describing applies to a lot of things, not just sports. Like when people get to that point where they are comfortable and they can just slow down and, you know, and think clearly, and there's nothing that's sort of making them, you know, frenzied in any way. Like I can tell you, like doing what I do, one of the best pieces of advice that I got early on is even if you think you're going slow, slow it down even more. And that is, it's just interesting to hear you say that. You know, the other thing about this position, you've told me this before, Smoots told me this before, is that it's very much a position where players begin to thrive with more experience because it's also a brainy position. So are you suggesting that he's going to start off being great, or you just know eventually he'll get there?
I'm suggesting that from day one, he's going to be great. I mean, I'm suggesting this, and this is a big statement. I'm suggesting from day one that most of the balls might go towards Lattimore. And I love Marshawn. He's a Buckeye. I am telling you, like, this kid is that good. There's a reason he's left corner in the NFL. It's the reason why he's a day one starter. We hit it. We on the last AP and Coach Quinn in the draft, and we could talk about all the guys they drafted. They've been spot on. You know, they just plug this guy in, and you know, only thing we got to worry about is, you know, 4 or 5 years when the contracts come up, who we can keep, because they've been spot on with the draft picks. Look at Mikey. Mikey's a guy on it. Mikey's a guy you put on the inside. He was towards the end of last year. He was one of the best corners in the league, and now you move him inside, and I mean, the secondary is legit, man. Like, Quan Martin is a rising star, or a guy who, you know, could be a Pro Bowl type player. You know, you saw that late in the year. You know, didn't see it the first year. It came on the second year, but now you can see the kid is just, you know, Washington secondary is amazing, man. And I could talk to the whole team, but it really stood out to me the way they just completely flipped the offensive line and the secondary. Totally different groups.
So tell me about Lattimore, what you've seen from him. I mean, that's a pretty, you know, out there statement. You're coming from, you know, a major experienced viewpoint. But to say the balls are going to be going towards Lattimore, not the rookie, tell me what you believe Marshawn Lattimore can be here in year two with this team, or really in, you know, his first full season.
Well, first of all, Marshawn is going to be much improved from last year because, you know, a corner with a hamstring, you know, and miss and trying to learn everything, it was a very difficult situation that he was put in. But Marshawn is a savvy vet, smart, you know, he's going to make plays, you know, he's healthy this year, so you're going to see a really, really good corner. I think you're going to see, when I say the ball's going our way, I mean, like usually when a rookie comes in a league, there's a lot of times they just pick on a rookie. I don't think that the case this year, meaning that Matt, they're going to sit there and just throw at Marshawn, because obviously he's a pro. Like, both of the corners are good and the nickel's good. You got to pick and choose who you're going to attack, whether it's the safeties or whoever it is in the back end. What I'm saying is that Marshawn is going to be really, really good too, but it won't be like it's obvious that I'm going out and throwing at this guy.
Right. So you think they line up against the Giants with Amos and Lattimore on the outside and Mikey Sanders still in the inside as they had envisioned when they drafted him?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%. And Neighbors is, you know, one of the best young receivers in the NFL. I mean, arguably all those guys from LSU. Just amazing. But it's not like it's going to be like, well, we got to match up with Marshawn and this. No. Trey Amos is going to be fine. And I'm not saying he's not. Like, Neighbors can get at anybody in the league, whether you're the number one corner in the league. But what I'm saying is it won't be like we got to switch him off because this guy's not ready. No, he'll be ready.
We're talking to Sean Springs, and we have focused on the corners and really the secondary. You've already added what you think Quan Martin can be, and he played so well at the end of last year. Last year, the issue more than anything else was stopping the run. Do you feel comfortable that they will be improved in that area?
Yeah, I think so, because now, you know, we talked about on this show that front and coverage goes together, meaning like, you know, you can't really be a good pass defense if you can't get rush, and you can't be a good run-stopping defense if you don't have the ability to put eight men in the box and play man at times and put the safety down as an extra free hitter. So I think with the confidence that Joe Witt has with the guys in the back end, where he feels like I can put those guys out there and have one-on-one coverage in the slot and on the outside, and a safety that's, you know, both safeties can go sideline to sideline, Harrison as well as Quan. I feel like he can be more exotic with his play calling, more aggressive, you know, first and second down, you know, first and second down, which are typically rundowns, for him be more aggressive. All right, I can bring the safety down. Now I can really blitz my linebackers now because I feel good about I got a guy who can cover in the slot. They don't need to help out in the pass game. So it's going to be very exciting to see Joe Witt's play calling and how, you know, he has the freedom to do more because he has the flexibility. And they're deep. You know, you're talking about guys like Jones can come in, who was a great man-to-man guy in New England, and Noah Igbinoghi last year. Noah was awesome at slot, so they're deep. So it's not a fall-off either if they have to go to the second and third group.
Give me another player that stood out to you defensively when you were out there watching him.
McGee.
God, I was going to ask you about McGee, because they love him. Tell me what you love about him.
Boy. Hey, what we knew about him coming out of Temple, then he got banged up, but you're talking about a guy that just has that physical presence, you know, kind of like, you know, like when you see today's game, you see like a Fred Warner out there from San Fran, and you look at him, you're like, that guy's a linebacker, right? You look at him and you're like, hey, man, that kid can do everything. So
does he play like Fred Warner? Is he that fast? Is he that athletic?
He's athletic. He's explosive. And I was, you know, we all would question that coming off the injury. And he just looks so confident, and he's physical. And, I mean, obviously he's, you know, the replacement when Bobby decides to hang up his cleats. But I just when you see a guy with presence at linebacker positions, like, he's just not out there. He is a guy who's physical. He can run. He can drop. I mean, I was just like, wow. You know, I feel that way when I saw Frankie LeVou last year, right? When I saw Frankie, I was like, man, I don't remember this guy being like that. I follow Washington State and the Jets. But when you see Frankie, you're like, oh, yeah, he's an animal, right? This McGee could be that guy. You see, he has a presence about him. He's fast. And, you know, it's just – you know, looks confident, man. And they did a great job of bringing him back. And I mean, he just, I think he only got 5 or 6 snaps in the last preseason game, but he just has a presence, man. When you see him, when you think of like a linebacker, like, oh, I'm going to go and get off the bus and we'll see what your linebacking group, he's one of the first people that you show.
Interesting. So on LeVou, I think you could argue he was the second or third best player on the team last year, pound for pound. What is his next level? Is it superstar? He was a second team All-Pro last year in the league. Does he have a chance to be a dominant player defensively in this league?
I think so, and the reason why I think so is because last year, you know, we saw when he blitzed a few times, he just, you know, just was reckless. Like, I mean, he was just, you know, just tearing up the backfield, pushing people back, just getting to the ball. He's violent. He can rush. And that's kind of surprised me. I had no idea he was that effective in the pass rush. Now think about adding a Von Miller, right? You got a Von Miller who people say, well, does he still got it? He still had the fastest first step last year. Von can come in at any moment where you least got to know, because he can put pressure and he can get to the quarterback. Even if he only gets you six sacks, he's a presence, right? So now you got Von Miller on the opposite side of you, right? Now, where are you going to double team? Who are they going to chip the back on third down, right? I'm thinking about third down.
Yeah.
So the next level for him is, you know, he can be a superstar because he might end up with seven sacks and, you know, and so many tackles and a few tackles for a loss. And and they use him the right way. You know, obviously, Coach Quinn was in Dallas with Michael Parsons, right? So when you think about Frankie Lulu, all the things that he was doing with Michael Parsons, moving him around, Frankie's that guy. Frankie, so the next level for Frankie could be, he's first team all pro. Wouldn't surprise me at all, especially now that you got a presence on the other side.
Who's going to lead the team in sacks this year?
Whew, man, that's a tough one, man. I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I think it's going to be, you know, it may be pretty balanced. I don't know if, you know, I don't see a 12 or 13 sack guy, you know, but do I see a few guys with 6, 7, 8, maybe, you know, maybe 2 or 3 guys, you know, I'm not sure on that just yet.
Two players that I wanted to ask you about, and then we'll quickly talk about the offense. I've just always been a Duron fan, and I know that he hasn't always played up to his ability. He hasn't always been consistent, but I think his best is elite when he's at his best. What kind of year do you think he'll have? Which this isn't technically a contract year, Sean, but he could more likely than not, with no guaranteed money the year after in 2026, he could kind of go the same way John Allen went without a big year. What are you expecting from Payne?
I think Duron is going to be excellent. Again, the line has been upgraded. I don't know if you guys had a chance to get out of camp, but out of camp, but Kinlaw is a grown man right beside him. So, you know, when you think of Duron, you know, and oftentimes you eat it, you know, is you don't get the glory because he's getting double teamed. He was a bigger guy. Jonathan was in there, but Duron was a big guy for the run stopping and stuff. And now you put Kinlaw in there with him. I think Duron's going to have a great year. And you're right. I think players understand that, you know, with the defense being elevated, obviously they're bringing in guys like Vaughn. They drafted Trey in the first round. You saw your partner, your other Alabama guy, get moved out, and you understand if you're part of this defense, they're trying to build a special defense. There's a standard. I think that you know what's the term? All tides rise or something like that. Yeah. You know. I think that he's gonna have a great year. And you're right. It's in the back of his mind. I got to perform this year. Next year's not a guarantee, so I got to perform. And I just think that, you know, the defense is going to be a little more aggressive first, second down. So it takes the pressure off him, because you might want to double team, but they might be shooting the A-gap or something with a Bobby or Frankie or someone else, like, coming, right? So you just can't just key and always have the double teams on the big boys up front.
What is your impression of Johnny Newton?
I like Johnny Newton, man. Johnny's a little undersized, but he got that. For me, I laugh, man, because he got that one sack and Cortez Kennedy kind of body. When you see him out there, you see him out there, and he's like, hey, you know, especially beside Kinlaw. Kinlaw looks like he 80. But what you see is a guy who has moves. He's undersized, but when I say the Cortez Kennedy, Warren Sapp type guys for the fans out there, like, he just gets it done. He's sneaky good. He's sneaky better than you think, right? He might not look like this massive big guy, but he'll make a play in the backfield. He'll get a tackle for loss. His motor is good. He'll get skinny in a gap and make a play, right? So he's one of those guys where if you underestimate him, you'll look up and he have a pretty good stat line. He'll have a tackle for a loss, you know, half sack and, you know, a couple tackles, you know. He's one of those guys to get in and spell those guys.
Was he the best defensive player you played with, Cortez Kennedy?
Ever? Of all time?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, him or I would say Cortez Kennedy, or if Sean, a young Sean Taylor probably would have been, if he would have continued on the way he, because he had that top five type talent, right? So yeah. Cortez was just unreal. I mean, if people don't know, Cortez was defensive player of the year on a 3-13 team.
That's really incredible.
Yeah, so he was special. Yeah. Cortez was very special, man, and rest in peace. But he was a pretty good football player, and I think, you know, Sean Taylor would have been, you know, Sean remind me of a young Benny Blaze. I don't know if people remember. Benny was a guy who influenced me, and I saw, and most people don't even know how good Benny was in Detroit, how many years he was all pro, like physical. But Sean probably would have been, from a talent perspective, Sean probably would have been one of those guys.
All right, we're talking to Sean Springs. Offensively, this was one of the most dynamic teams in the league last year with the quarterback leading the way. What do you expect in year two? Do you buy into any of the, you know, sophomore slump for Jaden Daniels, the people that believe in that coming to fruition?
I don't believe in the sophomore slump for Jaden Daniels. In fact, you know, when you think of Jaden Daniels, or you think of guys like C.J. Stroud, who the year before came and had a wonderful year, Jaden Daniels is one of those guys, man, where, you know, I don't know if you guys heard, but he was like, I'm taking a wristband off this year. And we talked about it yesterday on the podcast. To me, that meant, like, I'm feeling more confident in my relationship with Cliff, where they can throw more on me, I can have more input on the offense, and we're going to expand on what we did last year. So for me, Jaden Daniels, and the way he studies, last one to leave, first one in the building, and the way he has command and his poise, another guy we talk about poise, we all talked about it last year. See, the guy looked like he'd been in the league for 5 years. Jaden made some I just think that there's no sophomore slump for him. The X factor for him is, how do we run the ball? We upgraded our line. We were able to move some people in, and Larry Tonsil came in, and we drafted Conley. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the running back rotation looks like, right? Who makes a team. And, you know, but you got to suspect that the running game is going to be better. We got bigger up front. Terry signed, and, you know, I think that was critical. Terry has to have a good year, and Noah has to be healthy, right? Zach Ertz looks like he went back to 8 years. I saw Zach in Arizona training hard when I was out in Arizona, and we had a chance to spend some time together, and I was just like, Zach, man, I don't know what happened, but, man, you hit the fountain of youth. Zach Ertz is a monster. The offense can be good. Now, it's going to be challenging. The Giants have upgraded their defense. Phillies are going to be excellent. They're bigger front. There's no answer for Jalen Carter other than stay away from him. Their defense is going to be good. Some people are just that dominant. He's Aaron Donald. But Dallas, you know, without Michael Parsons. But, you know, and the league has a chance to see Jaden now, right? So they're going to – you know, he has to expand in the league. It's going to be better prepared for, you know, what he can do.
You mentioned Noah Brown, and Noah Brown gets some conversation from fans, but not a lot of it unless he's injured. Right. And then it's like, well, we really need him. What makes Noah Brown necessary for this offense?
Well, because nowadays you got to have, you know, the outside guys who can win. It's going to be a time where they're going to get after your quarterback, get after the offensive line, and they might lean the safety over Terry. If they can play man, lean over top of your number one, and somebody at safety is good enough to at least cover Zach Ertz, we got to have another guy that can win. There is no team that goes deeper to playoffs without two number ones. Name one.
Can't, at wide receiver?
Right? At wide receiver.
Well, the Bills and the Chiefs last year, well, the Chiefs last year didn't have a number one for much of the postseason.
Well, the Chiefs are different. The Chiefs got the greatest.
Okay, well, you asked probably, me to name one.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That's true. They had, before that, when they were winning, they had Tyreek Hill. And the reason why that the Eagles was able to tee off, I guarantee it would have been a little more different if Tyreek Hill plays for that Chiefs.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. But the bottom line is, you're absolutely right. You named the Chiefs.
The right. Bills, had they made the Super Bowl, certainly would have been a team without a number one, with two number ones.
Yeah, but they didn't, and they haven't made the Super Bowl.
Right. True.
Cincinnati has.
Cincinnati has, but they didn't have, in that Super Bowl, they didn't, who did they have? They had Chase?
They have Tosh Boyd and Pickens.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. All right, real quickly.
Tosh Boyd. Okay, anyway, go ahead. But the bottom line is you need another number one.
What is the upside for this team? Best case.
Well, the upside is, you know, let's be honest, for me, the upside is we go to the NFC Championship again. And the upside is all path to the Super Bowl right now is in our conference. I don't believe that there's a better team, there's a better built roster than the Eagles. And I'm honest with that. I'm not saying we can't beat them, but we got to be very honest about how good the Eagles, their roster is right now. So, we did all the things necessary to beat that team. We got bigger up front. We got better in the back end. We got two corners or three corners who can cover. We got safety players better. Our linebackers, we got more depth. We're bigger up front. We went got on defense front. We went got Kinlaw. So we did everything to beat the guys we have to beat in our conference, which is the Eagles. And people are probably doing on the other side. They got to be, what are we doing to beat Kansas City, right, in the AFC? Right? So in the NFC, I think that road goes through the Eagles, and I think this team should be very, very competitive. And for me, it's going to decide what happens in the playoff. Von Miller could be the difference. We're going to need a guy to make a play in a big moment in the playoffs. We need that guy. There's a Von Miller or somebody else like that.
Buckeyes win Saturday. They're 2-point favorites over Texas.
I thought they had Texas, you know, 53% chance of beating us.
The point spread.
Okay.
Buckeyes are favored at home by two.
Oh, it's going to be a close one, man. The Texas team is very good. I will say this. We've reloaded. We got some guys. and it's good. I know the Texas defense is very good. But that Jeremiah Smith is special, man.
Ooh. Yeah. And he That's can't all, even come that, out that after one, this year.
And he can't even come out. He would have. They say he would. I think it was Todd Platt or something. He's like, he would have been the first pick last year.
Last year's pick. Yeah, he would have gone before Cam Ward. We would have gone number one.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I hope you're well.
Number one this year.
Hope you're well. Will, thanks, man, for doing this as always. We'll talk at some point during the season, I'm sure.
Oh, sure, man. And we didn't start no trouble this offseason.
No, it's because we've got a good team to talk about. Whenever you've gotten in trouble with me, it's because the team hasn't been good and you've been right. So,
easy
to talk about them right now. The most fun we've had. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it as always.
All right, thanks. Thanks, brother. Yeah. All right, bye.
So, I mentioned earlier in the show that I was on a radio show this morning and the host asked me, well, what's the best case for Washington this year? And I said, going to the Super Bowl. They've got the best quarterback in the NFC. And as long as they're in that postseason, he's going to have a chance to take them to the Super Bowl. I believe that. I really do. I'm curious as to what you think. What is the best case for this team? We now know, we'll know for sure who's on the 53, but, you know, we're talking about roster spots 49 through 53. We know the crux of this roster. Terry's now in and under contract. He's going to be in anyway, more likely than not, but he is hopefully now in a much better mood coming in. What is the best case? Am I nuts to have answered that question, the Super Bowl? What do you think the best case is? 301-230-0980. This segment with Sean Springs was brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $125 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 9/13, and save even more with Easy Rewards program at Staples.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
D Wood, what is the ceiling for this Commanders team?
Super Bowl. Super Bowl is on the table for the Washington Commanders, and primarily because of their quarterback. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a superstar in this league. We saw what he did in his rookie year. It was an unprecedented rookie year by, you know, rookie quarterback. And so when you have him as a centerpiece, they've upgraded the offensive line, obviously trading for Laramie Tunsil being one of the pieces. You trade for Deebo Samuel, another piece added to that offensive side. And now you're talking about better protection, better run game, more explosiveness on the perimeter. And it all adds up to the Washington Commanders being one of these teams that we're going to talk about in the NFC representing that conference.
Damian Woody earlier this morning on the Greenberg Show on ESPN, Get Up. I was on a radio show this morning, the one that Denton is a part of now on BetQL. And I was asked by one of the hosts, what is the best case for Washington in 2025? And I said, the Super Bowl. Am I nuts? What is the team's best case season in 2025? 301-230-0980. I basically said almost verbatim what Damian Woody said. They've got the best quarterback in the conference. They've upgraded their offensive line. They've added another major weapon offensively in Deebo Samuel, and it's year two in Cliff Kingsbury's system. I think Washington could be as dynamic as any team offensively in the league. I think at times they were last year. We know what the mystery is. Sean Springs seems pretty confident about the defense this year. If the defense is just improved, doesn't even have to be significantly improved, if it's just better than it was last year, I think they've got a shot to win double-digit games and win 2-3 playoff games and be in the Super Bowl representing the NFC. I think that's the best case. We can talk about worst case next week in sort of a best case, worst case record segment in terms of projected records. But for me, I think the best case is Super Bowl. Anytime you've got the best quarterback, you've got a chance to win a lot of games. And I think they've got the best quarterback. 301-230-0980. By the way, Diana Russini reporting that Washington is gauging interest in a potential trade scenario for cornerback Noah Igbinoghani. Interesting. They must feel really good about corners to be moving him. He's been a player that has played well for them, certainly in the slot. Plenty of other cuts happening. Jalen Holmes released, according to Keim. It's also KJ Osborne, we had mentioned earlier. Let me just give you the updated list before we... Bobby Price was cut earlier. Chris Moore, wide receiver. Duke Riley, the linebacker, cut. We'll keep you posted on cuts.
Foster Sorrell.
he's cut. You'll update the cut list in your next what's trending, right?
That's right.
Okay. So stay tuned for that. 301-230-0980. Am I nuts to say the best case scenario is Washington representing the NFC in the Super Bowl? Kevin in Arlington, go ahead.
Thanks, Kevin, for taking my call. No, sure. You're not nuts at all. But I just want to sort of zero in on some specifics about how I see what you said. To me, for best case, we have to beat the bully in our backyard. We have to beat the Eagles on the way. What I mean is, if we don't face them in the postseason, let's say they play someone else and get upset, and somehow we go from the NFC Championship into the Super Bowl, that's fantastic, of course. But for me personally, I need to know they're no longer our daddy. We can beat them on the way to a Super Bowl championship. And honestly, I feel like it will take a lot out of us to do that. And I just can't imagine in my wildest dreams us winning the Super Bowl this season. But hey, man, bring it on. I would love it. I just feel like we're too thin. We're just too thin because of Ron and Marty and leaving us nothing. And we're going to have some injuries. We're going to have some, you know, challenges. But I could see us getting the Super Bowl. I just don't know that we can win it this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I should have added that I think to get there, I think they're dangerous in the postseason even if they're not the number one seed, even if they don't have home field advantage. You know, I'll take our guy on the road in a playoff game after what I saw with what we believe to be a better supporting cast. But the best way to make the Super Bowl is to play two games at home. And to do that, they have to not only win the division, they've got to end up with the best record in the NFC. But at the very least, they need to win the division to ensure a home game or two. And that is typically a requirement. It's hard to win three straight on the road to get there. And that would be the concern, too, you know, is getting by the Eagles and ensuring, by the way, Kevin, that you get to the point late in the season that those two games against Philadelphia on December 20th and then on January 3rd or whatever that is, that they are meaningful football games. I would have loved to have played Philadelphia in one game much earlier in the season. But, yeah, I'm with you. You got to kind of – you have to end up with more wins or the tiebreaker advantage over the Eagles in the division to give you your best chance.
One other thing just to mention, again, it's a scenario planning here, but let's say we get to that game, the first of the two, late in the season, and we win the first one. Well, let's say Philly's been kicking everybody's you-know-what. And that we get to the last game and Philly doesn't need it. Like Philly, we need it, let's say, but they don't need it. And we get a win, but it's sort of an asterisk win because Philly sat starters, whatever. I can see that happening, which would then set up, you know, a very interesting third meeting whenever it could potentially happen in the postseason. So,
getting ahead of ourselves, but I like the way you're thinking, because one of the reasons that I hated the two out of the last three is there is a good chance the last one won't mean anything. And,
that's what I mean,
you know, and I would have liked to have seen two heavyweight, you know, anticipated, highly anticipated regular season matchups. But anyway,
but, you know,
thanks,
we might
Kev.
Get it. If this is anything like the 91 season, we might get two amazing pre-playoff games. And that would just, the networks will love us if that's the case.
Yeah. Thanks, as always. Tom, I mentioned on a radio show this morning as a guest when asked what is the best case scenario for Washington this year, I said Super Bowl. It seemed to take the hosts aback a little bit. Am I nuts? What's the best case for this upcoming season?
The best case is a Super Bowl appearance. And I think that even better than that is a Super Bowl win, which we are capable of doing.
Yeah, you get to the game, you got to get to it, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I said, as a Super Bowl appearance. But it really depends on how that defensive backfield works. If Lattimore comes back, then we have a shot. People forget that the year the Rams put the greatest show on turf, there was one team that beat them. It was the Redskins. And there was a reason why. That was the reason why, was because we had three cover cornerbacks. That's the one year that
we didn't beat the greatest show on turf during their Super Bowl year. We beat them the next year.
Yes, we did.
No.
Are you sure?
I will look it up. They went 13-3 in their season with Kurt Warner starting for Trent Green when they won the Super Bowl. We almost played him in the NFC Championship game because we lost to Tampa. But Jeff George beat him on Monday Night Football, but I think that was in the 2000 season. It was the 2000 season. I'm trying to see. No, we didn't play him in 99. We did not play him in 99, okay. The year they won it. We did play him the next year, and that's where Jeff George got the start Monday Night Football and played the only decent game that he played for us, and we beat him on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, but look at our defensive backfield. It was
right.
Champ.
Yep, it was definitely
it was
Champ.
Darryl,
it would have been who else?
Champ, Darryl Green.
Right.
And Deion
Carrier. Was Carrier the safety?
Nope, Deion Sanders.
Yeah, Deion. Deion was Deion and Champ, and Darryl Green, obviously. Yes, yeah. In 2000, okay, when we beat the Rams, that's right. Yeah, Champ and Deion out there. Yes. Yeah, so you're saying you like the chances of winning the Super Bowl because you love what we have at cover corner.
If Lattimore comes back, yes.
Well, if he comes all, and hopefully you get the Marshawn Lattimore that they traded for. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Everybody stay on hold. I said earlier on a radio show today that the best case for our team here is Super Bowl, that they can represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Am I nuts? What do you think the best case for Washington is in 2025? Your calls next on that. We'll keep you posted on the cuts. And we will keep you posted if any information breaks specific to the Terry McLaurin details of the contract. What typically happens, as Michael Jannetty explained to us, is once the deal gets signed, then it gets reported to the league, and that's when you get the leak of the entire deal, not just one side of it. We'll see what we get probably before the day is over, maybe tomorrow. But team is continuing to cut players to get down to 53, and Max will have the update of those on the list throughout the show. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, that's right, Kevin. Here we are with two of the biggest NFL holdouts ending yesterday. First, with Terry McLaurin signing his 3-year, $96 million extension to remain in Washington. Then, Trey Hendrickson and his camp came to a deal with the Cincinnati Bengals to play out this year with a $14 million pay bump. He is now set to make $30 million this season. Plus, loads of movement in the NFL right now as we rapidly approach the 4 p.m. cut deadline. The Raiders have been very active as they traded for Kenny Pickett last night and also signed Amari Cooper to a 1-year deal. Running back Audric Estime was waived by the Broncos. The Giants have released Tommy DeVito, and longtime NFL tackle Dan Skipper has been released by the Lions. The Commanders currently have released, as it's been announced, linebacker Duke Riley, corner Asong Bassey, and Bobby Price. Defensive lineman Jalen Holmes, defensive tackle Norrell Pollard, center Nick Harris, tackles Tyree Phillips and Foster Sorrell. And wide receivers Braylon Sanders, Michael Gallup, KJ Osborne, and Chris Moore have all been released by the Washington Commanders. The Nats, they fall to the Yankees by a score of 10-5. Tough night for Brad Lord last night. He goes 4 1/3 innings and giving up 7 runs on just 8 hits. Cam Schlittler had a phenomenal night, throwing 6 scoreless innings, including 8 strikeouts. The Nats will reset against the Yankees tonight. First pitch at 7:05, Nats on deck at 6:35 on the Fan with Charlie and Dave. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1, and you can catch Denton's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's a team's best case in 2025? I say Super Bowl, representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. What's yours? 301-230-0980. We'll talk some college football with Stanford Steve next hour. We get the first full-fledged week one of the season starting really tomorrow, Thursday night. But, of course, Saturday, what a college football Saturday it is with Texas, Ohio State at noon. In the 3:30 window, Alabama and Florida State in Tallahassee. And then I think a lot of people feel the best team in the country may be playing Saturday night in Death Valley, the other Death Valley, Clemson hosting Garrett Nussmeier and LSU in what will be a big showdown. About as good of a week one as you can get. Notre Dame, Miami included on Sunday night. And then Monday night, you get Bill Belichick's debut in Chapel Hill against TCU. Pretty good football weekend coming up. 301-230-0980. I really think that as long as he's the quarterback and Kingsbury's the coordinator and they've added a weapon and they've upgraded their offensive line, I could definitely see another 11 or 12 wins and potentially a home game or two and a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. Absolutely. I think that's the best case this year. It's been a long time since we could say that. Like, not since I've been doing radio, long before I got into radio. I would say 2000 was the last year you could legitimately go into a season and say, yeah, Super Bowl's a possibility. Let's go to our guy, Tony, in Silver Spring. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I agree with that assessment that, you know, with the team that they have this year, everybody in it, that they, you know, the Super Bowl would be the best case scenario. I disagree with your assessment that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the conference.
Okay.
In my estimation, that would have to be Jalen Hurts.
Okay, we disagree. I think Jalen Hurts is very good. I think Jalen Hurts is very good in big-time games. So is our guy. But there's no way that I would ever swap Jaden Daniels for Jalen Hurts. And I like Jalen Hurts. I've been a Jalen Hurts fan. But I think Jaden is a much more dynamic quarterback. I think he's a much more comfortable pocket-passing quarterback. And I think he's more explosive than Jalen Hurts as a playmaker. But that's my opinion. I think Jalen Hurts on this team last year, they would have won 8 or 9 games, not 12.
All right. We'll disagree on that. Yeah. I mean, I particularly disagree about the winning 8 or 9 games with him on this team. He's better than that, even as a, you know, individual quarterback. I mean, he's accurate. He throws a long ball. He has a good arm. He'll run over.
I love Jalen Hurts. To me, he's the next rung down after Jaden. That's all. He's really good, though.
I would put him number 4 of all quarterbacks in the league. I would say Mahomes, Allen,
Lamar.
Jackson.
Yeah. And then you'd have Hurts 4. That's fine.
We just
disagree.
And Joe Burrow. Then Joe Burrow, then Jaden.
Okay, that's fine. I would not have Jalen Hurts in my top 5. I'd probably consider Jalen Hurts into top 10 territory. I'd actually tell you that I think Matt Stafford is the second best quarterback in the NFC, and then probably Jalen Hurts, but I'm starting to fall in love with Baker Mayfield. I got to get to a break, but thanks for the call. Everybody on hold, Manuel, Aveen, Lapp, Rob, we'll take a few more calls on this. What's the best case in 2025? I was on a show this morning, and I said Super Bowl representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. What's your best case for Washington in 2025? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, we are also on YouTube. You can watch us on our YouTube homepage. You can download the Odyssey app and access the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in Team 980, and hit subscribe.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.